Welcome to another episode of People, Pets, and Purpose Podcast, a show about the human-animal bond and what really matters. I'm your host, Diaz Dixon, the Maddie's Advisor in External Affairs and Partnerships for the Human-Animal Support Service Project. In today's episode, we're going to explore the topic that many people don't even think about, but it is so critical to animal welfare, and you're hearing about it a lot more these days, but it may not have the scope and the depth that many of us even recognize. And so we're going to talk how it impacts our daily lives, let alone how it actually works for all the different shelters and everyone in the industry. And that is data and technology. And to share her thoughts and expertise, I'm excited to welcome Samantha Hill, the Director of Data and Technology of Shelter Animals Count, the leading national database for animal welfare industry. We are thrilled to have you here, Samantha. We're putting on our listening and our learning caps, ready to dig in with you. So welcome to this episode of People, Pets, and Purpose.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. And for a lot of us and a lot of our listeners out there, hearing the words data and technology in animal shelters may not have a very clear definition, or it might even be intimidating to embrace. Where do we start with this in defining shelter data and technology? How would you break that down for people?
Sure. So let's start with data itself. Data are the pieces of information that are collected that we can use to glean insights from. It's everywhere. We can collect all kinds of it, but until it's really connected to understanding and serving a mission, it can not be very useful. Mm-hmm. Shelter data specifically is vast. There's data on animals in care, their breed, birth date, intake and outcome dates, any behavioral or medical information. There's also data on people that engage with the organization, such as adopters or volunteers. There's data on the organization itself, such as staff numbers, volunteer hours. For Shelter Animals Count, animal and organization data is where we focus. That's what we look at mostly, where we collect that intake and outcome numbers, service data, and some animal level data, such as breed and size. Technology is really the primary way that data is collected and analyzed. So the technology in animal sheltering would include apps on our phones, shelter management softwares, Google or Microsoft products, and even visualization tools. So Tableau or Power BI.
Wow. So that is constantly evolving, I can imagine, especially when we're talking about technology. And this is Shelter Animals Count was founded just over 10 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, fairly new in terms to animal welfare. Can you share with us more about your mission and purpose?
Yeah, Shelter Animals Count was established as an independent organization to fill a need in the industry to centralize data collection for animal welfare organizations. So we collect data from all organization types, including shelters, rescues, and even non-intake organizations that are providing services to their community. The data collection has grown from specific intake and outcome counts to counts of services, and that animal level data, which is now a focus of ours, to better understand the journey of animals through the system itself. We collect this data to be able to provide neutral statistics to the public, the media, and even researchers, as well as supporting organizations themselves in understanding how their data fits in the context of national averages.
That's good stuff. You know, no matter where you're coming from, whether it's a small shelter or a rescue or a large corporation, like all of this information really matters. And I can see how you're gathering and housing and hanging on to this really good information, how it can be critical in other organizations getting their message out or really understanding their purpose and their mission at the same time. So you work with a large variety of type of organizations?
Yes, a large variety. We try to collect data from all types of organizations because we all fit in the ecosystem together, mm-hmm. and we all have to work together to make sure that animal welfare is the priority in our communities.
Very cool. Well, tell me this, Samantha, how did you personally find yourself in this field? And then tell us a little bit about your role specifically. Like, what is your why?
So I came to this in a little bit more of a roundabout way, I think, than a lot of folks in the industry. At the start of my career, I worked and studied human service nonprofits during my time in higher education. And I really saw how valuable data and research was for creating that sustainable and really productive programs. Mm-hmm. I just loved how data could tell a story when it was all woven together. So I always did have a passion for animals. I think many in the industry do. So I spent a year meeting with a number of people throughout the animal industry and just felt that was a place I could connect to the mission and really make an impact. So this is where I've been since 2019. My current role, I oversee all of Shelter Animals Count's data collection, analysis, research collaborations, and our technology development, which is primarily focused on improving user experience when they're engaging with our platform. I'm really driven by the desire to ease the burden of data collection and analysis. I know not everybody is an analyst. People sometimes are scared of numbers. So I really try to help with that. And I am really passionate about empowering people to use their data to share their stories.
That's awesome. Once people realize that data can paint that picture that you were talking about and they can use it in their storytelling, it's powerful. It can be powerful for fundraising. It can be powerful for actually education as well. So many different avenues. And you came through the human service side and then transitioned. So this sounds like it was a very organic transition as you worked your way into to where you're sitting today.
It was. Yeah, I would say it was.
Gotcha. Now, what was your favorite thing that you did before you found yourself in this role? Was there any position that gave you an aha moment or anything that you just loved?
So outside of animal welfare, before I really moved into animal welfare itself, I was working at a child study center and understanding, really helping to support a lot of research that was going on in supporting child services. But it was a wide range. It had to do with policies, and so policy and advocacy work, as well as psychological research was being done at that center. And I think just being there and seeing how, one, collaborations were huge in that arena, was just really powerful to me. And I think that they tried very hard to use data all the time to support their advocacy work and the programming that was being done. And so I felt that could be done in animal welfare too. And I wanted to be able to do that here.
That's really cool. You know, when we're looking at a lot of the systems that have been around for a long time, particularly in human services, the importance of collaboration and looking at other people's data as well as your own data and how those integrate and impact communities is really huge. So it's great that you could take those things and bring those into animal welfare, because we typically just do things the same way for a long time. You know, we're not always great at wanting to embrace the change. And we know that data-centric approach is fairly new to some, and there's some people who hesitate in jumping into it. Can you tell us why it's important, or what are your thoughts on how organizations can create this different type of approach and buy in and be able to embrace it and see the benefits of it?
Yeah, so people in animal welfare and really nonprofit space in general, we are mission driven. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, we want to have those positive impacts on animals. Data is our best way to make sure we are actually having the positive impact we want. It's going to tell us if our programs are actually working. It's going to tell us if they're not, if we need to pivot, if we need to change something. So it's the key to that. It's the key to showing us our successes. Mm-hmm. I think day in and day out in the field, it can sometimes be challenging for staff to see progress being made. And if you have some data collected that's connected to goals, we can actually provide a way for whole teams to actually celebrate their successes.
That's good stuff. Mission driven, data that really backs it up. And it's a great way to be a reminder for us and our staff that we're doing the right thing as we're working our way along. Very clearly stated, Samantha. Well, I know that there are a lot of challenges, but what are some other challenges that you feel that maybe data and technology implementation and animal welfare can solve? What other speed bumps can be knocked down?
So I think we've all had experiences where technology doesn't always make our lives easier, but I do think for the most part it can in animal welfare. Once data is entered into a software, for example, or even into the SAC portal, you can see insights without a lot of heavy lifting at the organization mm-hmm. level. A visualization can go a long way. So you can use that to share statistics with entire organizations. In real time is best. That helps to prevent duplication of efforts and maybe people just stepping on toes or anything. I think one of the biggest challenges right now that we're seeing a lot of and hearing a lot of in the industry is related to capacity for organizations. That is one of the spots that technology can come in and hopefully help with a little bit. If we can better understand through data and develop some technology that can see and track that information across mm-hmm. the country, preferably in real time or in like live, essentially, we could make really great strides in helping to ease that struggle.
Yeah, wouldn't that be amazing? Because we've got, you're right, capacity issues are all across the country. And I was down last year in LA, and then I was down in San Diego, and as well, I was down in Louisiana, and a lot of the same things are going on all across the country. And if we can figure out, you know, if there are, sure, like barbershops that can figure out with technology how to go online and people can see capacity and openings, there's got to be some technology that would be beneficial for us. If you could convince the industry of one thing related to the use of data and technology on a day-to-day basis in operations, what would that one thing be?
So this was really tough for me because I think there are lots of things, but the one thing that I am really passionate about and I would love the industry to embrace is that data shouldn't be driven by the story you want to tell. Data should actually be the thing that drives your story. So if you have a narrative, I can guarantee that you can find a data point or two that will support that story. But without context of other supporting data or even just understanding what's going on at your organization, that story may not actually be true. So I've seen it so many times where we really want data, we select it and we manipulate it to fit that narrative. Mm-hmm. But data is really powerful. And while starting with that narrative idea or the question that kind of started the whole concept of the story, it may help guide us on what we want to look at in our data. We have to be willing to let a holistic view of the data itself change how our story is so that the data is actually telling us what is happening. I just think that makes a reliable data storyteller if we're letting the data drive it. I'd really just love to see a shift where instead of having a narrative put on them because of one to two data points, organizations are actively looking at their data and they feel empowered to share that data with their own context.
That's good. That is really good. Starting to look at how to look at it from a different perspective. I like everything that you said right there. It can be tough for someone who is maybe someone of an older generation who's been sitting and running a shelter for a long time or a rescue. Where would you recommend that they would start if we're talking about someone who's brand new to implementing data in their organization? Where's a less intimidating, maybe smooth place to get into the waters?
So data can definitely be super overwhelming. There's so much of it. We could collect tons of it. And like I said earlier, if it's not connected to our mission or a goal, then it's really not that useful. So I'd say for someone who's really trying to start out on being a data-driven organization, mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be an all or nothing situation. So don't get bogged down by the breadth and all the options. Identify one specific goal that's related to your organization's mission. That one goal should be measurable, meaning you should be able to collect some data to determine if and when you actually achieve that goal. So start there.
Okay.
Just identify what data can actually tell you if that goal is achieved. If you're already collecting it, that's awesome. You can go ahead and start looking at it, start analyzing it. If you haven't collected it, then you'll just need to start collecting it. And you have to be patient because data collection takes time, which is something we at SAC experience all the time. It takes a while to get it. And remember that when you're collecting that data, it's much more reliable and useful if it's captured in a timely and accurate manner.
That actually makes sense. Rather than stretching it out or being without consistency, then it's no good. And I would imagine that there are a lot of limitations to it if it's not done in a timely manner, and probably bias as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are there any specific tools, any particular tools or resources or best practices that SAC offers for the industry?
Yes. Over the last couple of years, I'm really excited that SAC has been intentional about supporting organizations with understanding their data. So contributors can see their data in their portal with easy-to-use dashboards. If they want to be transparent with their communities and add their own organizational context to their data, they can actually embed a dashboard directly on their website to share their data.
Cool.
Our comms teams has been working to support organizations to elevate their data in the local media through press release templates. And we have more exciting developments on the communication side that coming later this year. We also know that we love our jargon and acronyms in animal welfare. So if you don't know what a term or calculation means, we have an animal welfare glossary that was actually developed in partnership with Haas and continues to grow as we, you know, just to make sure that we're all talking about the same things.
Yeah.
And we're also working on data entry best practices to help improve animal level data being collected specifically in shelter management softwares, but it can be replicated on Excel spreadsheets for organizations that don't have a software. And we'll have more resources related to that later this year too.
Very cool. You know, and I can really see the more organizations that engage in these services, and particularly working with SAC, the better it is for all of us, because this database that you are putting together, that can be really impactful for everyone across the country, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it helps organizations feel like they're not alone in whatever's happening at the time by being able to see that their data is similar to the national. And sometimes your data is not similar to the national. It may be completely different, which is perfectly fine. We do report a lot of national averages. And I think it still allows organizations to say, hey, we've got this program, and that might be why our numbers are different here versus what we're seeing across the country, which could fuel some collaborations.
Right. I love it. Is there a way to navigate any ethical considerations with data and animal welfare? Are there any particular strategies that are better than others that you're seeing in this young 10 years of pushing through with this?
I think when it comes to data and really being ethical about it, here at SAC, that's why we remain very neutral on what we share. And we don't want the data to show that something's good or bad necessarily. It's
okay.
It's really just the data. And I think organizations can sometimes take that approach as well, and they can treat their data that way as well.
Well, the part that I like you're talking about is the fact that we're not looking for the data to paint the picture we want it to paint. We want it to be very, very accurate, whether it is good information, or it's good news, bad news, or indifferent. We just want to know the relevant news and how to be able to use that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And I do know that in some industries, you know, people will want the data to paint a certain picture, or they don't want to see it. And you get to be an independent source that gives us just clear data.
Yeah. Yes, that is our goal and our intention with the data we collect. And of course, the more accurate it is, the better, and the quicker that it's input into the system, the better too. It helps give us more understanding of what's happening right now instead of, you know, months later.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, how do you imagine the future of technology and data in animal welfare industry? What is that going to look like in the next 5 years or 10 years? And what's the goal that you hope to accomplish with all of this?
So I feel like technology changes pretty fast. We've all been experiencing that. And the way that we look at data has been changing as well. So I personally imagine that animal welfare could move to no longer being limited at looking at what happened in the past, because mm-hmm. we can't change the past. But so we could think of using technology and data to consider where we might be in the future. And STAC's been doing a little bit of this with some forecasting, both nationally and for individual organizations in their portals. And we're really excited to just continue improving that effort so organizations can start planning ahead, see if they can get on top of some adoption events ahead of when they're expecting to have really big intake months. Mm-hmm. instead of just looking behind, they're actually looking ahead and trying to work towards that.
See, and that's all great stuff for strategic planning. And I know that historically, there are a lot of organizations that don't have the capacity or the time or feel like they have the bandwidth to do strategic planning, when this data really just lays it all out for us. And it can help us draw out that roadmap for different events that we have coming up or strategies we're using, whether it's with euthanasia or adoptions. It's all good stuff, all really good stuff. So I have to ask you personally, Samantha, my favorite question is, tell us about any fur babies, any pets that have had an influence in your life that you have had or you currently have.
Yes. Well, I grew up obviously with lots of pets, but I currently have a dog who is now nine and a half. And so she's a little on the older side, but she was my first adult fur baby. And she came to us from a sheltering organization, and really just struggles with a lot of anxiety and fear. I call her my spirit animal because she doesn't really like people. And, you know, I'm not much on the people person side either. And she, you know, really internalizes a lot of anxiety. And so she's taught me a lot, ever since we got her and have been working with her and helping to alleviate some of those fears. It's been just really fascinating. And I do think, you know, if we weren't in a situation where we were, where we could support that kind of behavior and concern, like anxiety from her, I could see her having been returned to an organization or, you know, maybe even a worse fate. So she's really inspired me to continue doing this work and showing where we can support animals and communities.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, we've got those little ones right next to us, reminding us of who we are and what we want to be. And oftentimes we think that we are providing all the support for them, but it's usually the flip. they are providing all the different types of things that we need. And I'm so glad that you have her, because she's supporting you in doing this vital work that's huge for so many organizations, and it's only going to grow. So, Samantha, I want to thank you for being here. And I speak for the entire Haas team when I say that we really enjoy collaborating with SAC to make our industry better.
We enjoy that as well. Really excited for opportunities to continue those collaborations.
Yep. They're going to grow. They're going to get stronger. And we will continue to use that data to paint the picture and drive the purpose that we need in taking care of people and pets. So it's good stuff. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And to our listeners, I want to thank you for joining us on another episode of People, Pets, and Purpose. We hope that you learned a little bit about SAC. And to learn a little more about SAC, what's your website?
You can find us at shelteranimalscount.org.
Okay. So please go to shelteranimalcount.org and pay attention to what they're doing. We need to put them on the radar. Make sure that if you're not an organization who's dialed in with them, let's get your organization dialed in. Samantha, thank you again. We appreciate you. Keep doing the work that makes this world a better place.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Until next time, we will see you guys around the corner. And remember, we are doing the things that inspire us, whether it's people, pets, all of it towards the purpose in making us a better world so that we can have more human kindness and pet kindness, because we certainly need more. Take care.